is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Hotel Mars, episode N. David Livingston is here. I'm John Batchelor. We're going to the moon. We're going to the moon because there is a new story that is upbeat. NASA's Artemis program, NASA's Artemis astronauts will try to grow plants on the moon. This is a New Scientist headline explaining. NASA has elected the first science experiments that astronauts will bring to the moon as part of the Artemis 3 mission. This mission, planned 2026, will mark the first time humans have walked on the lunar surface since the Apollo 17 in 72. The first of three scientific experiments called Lunar Effects on Agricultural Flora. Astronauts will grow plants on the surface of the moon. Full stop. David, we welcome our very good colleague, Professor Chaim Ben-Arroya of Rutgers University. But most importantly, for our purposes, he's the author of books about surface of the moon dwelling, habitats. The most recent, Building Habitats on the Moon, Engineering Approaches to Lunar Settlements. Professor, a very good evening to you. Growing plants on the moon. Now that we've had several private landers near the south pole of the moon with mixed results so far, a few of them have fallen over after 24 hours. But in any event, your thinking about this for years puts you well ahead of the rest of them. Growing plants on the moon, was that always part of the habitat planning for modules on the surface? Good evening to you, Chaim.
Good evening, John. Great to be here. Nice to see you, David. Just like the in-situ resource utilization was always part of the plan to build habitats, to generate electricity, we also want to feed ourselves with as much as we can from the minerals that are already in the regolith. And this idea here to bring these pods to the moon and grow certain very hardy plants, and if they can survive on the moon with the radiation and the temperature extremes, I think NASA would like to use minimum energy and minimum resources to find out how hardy these plants really are.
David, you have a question for the professor.
I assume they're going to be trying to grow agriculture in a greenhouse or a pod or an enclosed structure to give it some sort of an atmosphere. Is that correct? Do they know how to mix that atmosphere, or is that part of what they have to learn to do?
You're right that they will have an enclosed surface, enclosed volume. It'll be like a greenhouse. Imagine a fabric-like structure where light can come in, and yet it can hold the pressure and the oxygen that the plants would need. The actual mix would have to be figured out, because the plants now will be in a 1/6 G environment, and we're not really sure how they will do in that 1/6 G. Just like we're not really sure how humans will survive. Although there is some data from the space station, it's really different than it would be on the moon.
Surface of the moon. Let's go right there with the modules that you describe. They're built on the surface, not underground, but the surface. The regolith remains very dangerous to handle. The dust, you've got to fend it off. However, presuming all that, is the South Pole now as desirable as it was before in theory? Because right now there's a mixed to negative result of there being at least water ice at the South Pole. Maybe there are the elements of water within the regolith, but there's no water ice. Does that make the South Pole less attractive, or is it the same, Chaim?
In my view, it's always been sort of touch and go as far as the South Pole. And there are large question marks on the availability of water ice or water at that location. But even if there was a lot of water there, the problem is that it's a very hilly region. Basically, the sun would always be on the horizon, creating large shadows. So just moving around there would be really problematic. And we know that astronauts are not going to be the construction workers or the miners of the moon. So how will they get around? We'll need robots. And the infrastructure will be quite significant in order to operate at the South Pole.
David, you have a question.
Do you believe we're motivated for the South Pole due to Chinese competition? Or what do we know about China's plans to go to the South Pole? Is that a factor for us?
Well, it may be a factor. However, we don't really see any acceleration in our progress, right? We're seeing actually a slowdown in our progress for various reasons. I think the Chinese probably are more motivated than we are, and probably they have a more streamlined process than we do. I think eventually, you know, we'll have to sort of come to terms with the fact that when the Chinese get to the moon, they really aren't going to be our buddies there. They really are going to be much like they are here on Earth, basically gathering territory and excluding others from that territory.
The Chinese are said to have taken cotton plants to the moon in 2019. I don't have any results from the New Scientist. There have been experiments on ISS with plant growing. And is there any reason at this point to be discouraged, Haim, or is it still a new frontier? We don't know if it'll work.
Right. I wouldn't be discouraged. I think it's a matter of getting there and testing our ideas. And a related idea, actually, which is about 15, 16 years old, is the discovery that cyanobacteria, one form of bacteria, actually can survive on lunar soil given water and sunlight. Even though they are bacteria, they operate through photosynthesis and can process the regolith for the elements in there. So that could be also another approach to actually using the regolith, using bacteria to process it for us and provide eventually processing for fertilizer and even for metals down the road.
David, you have a question.
Are we going to be ready to do all of this by the timeline they're giving us for Artemis 3, which is not that many years away now?
Right. What is it, about 2.5 years, assuming it doesn't slide? They'll bring these experiments to the surface of the moon. I read that they're also going to bring some seismic equipment and other kinds of equipment to do a variety of other tests. All those are really important. I think the turnaround, at least the NASA turnaround, is very slow, and it's also very expensive. I think we need to start capitalizing on SpaceX to help us accelerate the turnaround.
Yes, let's stay with the plant life. My memory of childhood is reading about how we were going to live in space due to something called hydroponics. Is that still part of the conversation? I think what they were doing was growing tomato plants in water. Is that still imaginable for the moon, Professor?
It probably is. We would have to conserve water as much as possible. So some of what we've learned on Earth with farms using very minimal water, I think will translate to the moon.
And the growing of food and vegetables, was that always part of your plan for these habitats, these colonies?
Yes, absolutely. So resources for engineering purposes and resources for food, local resources for rocket fuel, for energy, all these things, we really have to get to the point where we build an infrastructure that's totally independent of Earth.
David, is there any reason to be discouraged about this experiment? You've recently been among a lot of space geeks. Are people excited about this idea of a lunar colony?
Some are, but a lot of them are saying the South Pole is not where we should go. We should go where we can more easily put a habitat in, sustain it, maintain it, and start building infrastructure out to give us a permanent lunar infrastructure creating presence. And that seems to be gaining some speed among professionals and people that have really looked hard at this. And they don't think China's going to go to the South Pole either for similar reasons.
David Livingston is Dr. Space of The Space Show. Haim Ben-Arroya, the most recent book, Building Habitats on the Moon, Engineering Approaches to Lunar Settlements. This is Hotel Mars, Episode N. I'm John Batchelor.